This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
There's not a baseball fan in my life that is happy today, except for the guy to my right. Not one, except for Ryan Brown.
Berno, he's a Cardinals fan.
He's not really in my life.
Oh, okay.
He joins us every Friday as a guest on the phone.
I think Pat Smith likes the Cardinals. I'm not sure.
Pat Smith.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk for him.
Damian's wearing a Cardinals jersey, a pretty slick Cardinals jersey, too. That thing is legit.
Are you out of...
Stan Musial. Man. Old school.
I don't spend a lot of time with those other people you guys keep naming. All my friends are Braves fans, Dodger fans, and one National fan. So congratulations. An amazing, weird day of baseball yesterday. The Braves give up a 10 spot in the top of the first inning in one of the weirdest historical innings you'll ever see. And then yesterday, a guy who's going to the Hall of Fame in Clayton Kershaw loses a 3-1 lead on not one, but two home runs. And then the Nationals get a grand slam to win it in extra innings, both those elimination games. So what we were expecting, a Braves-Dodgers NLCS, ends up being Cardinals and Nationals. And the network executives everywhere a little disappointed that one of those two teams will not be in the World Series. Where do we start? Do we start with Kershaw, or do we start with the fact that the Dodgers scored zero runs after the second inning? And you can blame that on the Dodgers bats or the National pitching, but they needed some more runs, and they didn't get them yesterday. Where do you start, Lance?
Well, I mean, I would start with the Kershaw's the big story here. I mean, look, I didn't expect a lot of runs out of the Dodgers. I thought the three spot with the way Buehler was pitching was enough. And I didn't have a problem. And, look, a lot of people are saying if the name on the back of the jersey wasn't Kershaw, Dave Roberts doesn't bring him in. He did his job against Adam Eaton. That was a huge 1-2-3, three pitches. He gets the strikeout. And then you decide to bring him back out for the eighth. I'm not going to say that was a mistake. I guess just because I've watched Clayton Kershaw for so long, I know he's had obvious problems in the postseason. But after you give up the first bomb to Rendon, you might start to think about going in a different situation with Soto coming up. And especially after that, after the game is tied, I mean, for them to go Joe Kelly, and Joe Kelly, you know, got out of the ninth, and once you go to the 10th, I just don't know why Joe Kelly's in there in the 10th when you've got Kenley Jansen, your closer, on the bench.
Because Dave Roberts is your manager.
Yeah, it just didn't make a lot of sense. And, you know, this is a guy that was extended back in December, and so Dave Roberts is going to go nowhere. Management loves him.
Well, really? Yeah, would you hear the crowd boo Roberts when he came out to pull Kelly?
There is such a division between Dodger fan and what's going on with the front office.
Well, it's top nine trending right now in the country is hashtag fire Dave Roberts. Is to fire him.
I don't know what he was doing at the end of the game. I mean, Lance, even after the Hal Kendrick grand slam, he left Kelly in the game.
Yeah. And look, and
I mean, the game's over
so
then, probably.
Frustrating if you're a Dodger fan is you see what Joe Kelly was able to do against the Dodgers last year as a Red Sox.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a guy that has had so much postseason success, and then when he comes to your brand, he lets you down. And I guess what's so frustrating, Dunaway, is this payroll. And look, the Dodgers aren't going to go anywhere. They're always going to be competitive. They're going to be like Red Sox, Yankees. They're going to give 100 wins a run every single year. But we're talking about a team that won 106 games. It felt a little different this year. It felt special. I do think if the Astros beat your Rays today, you know, they are obviously your favorites. But you just had a feeling that the Dodgers would at least be back there in the World Series for the third consecutive year. They would have a legitimate chance to win their first World Series in almost 30 years.
I actually, when it happened, when the moment they showed Kershaw in the bullpen, I loved it as a Nationals fan. The moment they showed him in the bullpen, putting that rosin on his hand or whatever, I was like, good, I hope they go to him.
Well, that's what they were saying in the postgame. Gary Sheffield and all those guys were, when you'd seen what Buehler was throwing all night long and how nasty his stuff was, as a hitter, across the table, they all said, you are relieved when you see Kershaw coming in at that point. You're relieved.
Yeah, and it's postseason Kershaw. He's not the same pitcher. I mean, he's a dominant pitcher in the regular season. He can't do anything right in the postseason, hardly. So I was happy to see him come in. Now, when he struck out Adam Eaton, I thought, well, crap. He's got his only career save against the Nationals. I thought, well, here comes another
one. That probably should have been, look, again, his only
batter.
Too biased because I've watched him for so long, but when you look at the ERA, it's almost double. 4.43 career ERA in the postseason, a 2.44 career ERA in the regular season. That probably should have been it, though. Pedro Baez probably should have come in and been your guy in the eighth inning. Yeah.
Let relievers do what relievers do, right?
That pen has been so good for the Dodgers. Yeah. It's one of the best in Major League Baseball. Again, I don't really trust Kenley Jansen, but that is the guy that you have anointed for the last few seasons as your closer. So if he's going to be the guy that's going to get you – because to me, it just felt like if the Dodgers could have gotten into that 10th inning against your National bullpen, and I know Doolittle's been good, but it just seems like they could have manufactured a run. And I really thought Will Smith had won it there.
Oh, boy, I did too. And he did too.
Yeah. I think everybody thought.
Yeah.
Rockstar, here's Anthony Rendon on his thought when he saw Kershaw coming in and why the Nationals were so aggressive. And let me get your reaction to what he says here.
Well, I personally knew that he is always going to be around the zone. He's always going to be a strike thrower, and we wanted to be aggressive and just try to put the barrel on it, and we just happened to get him tonight.
I guess sometimes you can be too good of a pitcher. You're always around the zone, so they were like, we're going to tee off. We're going to be aggressive with this guy.
I'm not a big baseball guy. You guys know more about sport than I do, but, I mean, as a starting pitcher, one pitch isn't going to lose the game for you, right? So you can take some chances and be in around the zone because a first-inning home run, you got bats behind you. They're going to help you out there. As a closer or a guy in the bullpen, one swing can end the game for you. So it's just a different mentality, isn't it? And Kershaw, he's a Hall of Famer. But there's just a different mentality that a Kenley Jansen brings or a Sean Doolittle brings than a Kershaw or a Patrick Corbin. And look, our manager did the same thing, Lance, and I thought it was a terrible idea because Patrick Corbin had been a disaster in this series. And he was terrific. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know what's the right call there because I hated when Davey Martinez brought in Patrick Corbin.
Boy, and Howie Kendrick had just been so bad.
Oh, he'd been awful in this series. In the field, he's made three errors. He hasn't done anything at the plate.
Share with everyone your text that you actually sent another Nationals fan when Kendrick was coming up to the plate with bases loaded. I mean, this is such a Dunaway moment of saying something.
I'd rather have anyone else up. Honestly, I'd rather a pitcher be batting right now
than Howie Kendrick. Seconds later, after he sends that text.
Well, there's something I can't read.
The grand slam home run.
Yeah, the response was something I can't read.
The biggest problem with that 10th, well, obviously giving up the bomb, but, you know, Joe Kelly to walk the leadoff guy. It seems like every time, and that was Fulton Evich. I know we'll get to that game in a minute. You know, you walk Dexter Fowler to start off the game, and, you know, the previous start he had – didn't walk anyone.
You walk leadoff hitters, that always leads to a run, doesn't it?
I don't see how, though, if it's not your closer. Now, if it's your closer, you've brought him in, and you probably don't have anybody else up in the pen after him in most games. I mean, he's going to win it or lose it for you. But, Lance, if it's not your closer, I don't see how you let a guy load the bases and leave him in the game.
And then Rendon has the double. You still have an opportunity to bring Jansen in.
And walking Soto was the right move. I mean, that's the last guy you wanted to pitch to then.
Okay, give me cut 20 because I don't know if we'll get back to the Dodgers later in the show.
No need to.
Clayton Kershaw, I mean, you want to hear from him. So painful. He didn't retire like Brian McCann, but he was very down and out. In the locker room. Here's Clayton Kershaw after the loss.
You know, I had one job to do, just get three outs, and got one out, and didn't get the other two, and they went over the fence, cost us the game right there. So it's a terrible feeling. You know, there's no excuses. Just didn't make pitches, and guy hit it over the fence twice. So that's the hardest part every year. I mean, just when you don't win the last game of the season, and you're to blame for it. It's not fun. And the main reason is just the group of guys in this clubhouse. And, it's a terrible feeling.
They do seem like a really close team. And for a guy like Clayton Kershaw to be a future Hall of Famer, you rarely see future Hall of Famers in that situation where he's having to almost be apologetic that he lost the game. I go back, I mean, three runs isn't enough sometimes. I mean, you have those sticks are so good.
To me, that's what I thought. I thought three or four runs is all the Dodgers needed to win last night.
Well, technically four would have been,
And you hate it for Clayton Kershaw for a couple of reasons. People that know him say he's actually a better person than he is a pitcher.
Wow. And I believe that, too.
And everything that he does off the field. And sadly, you know, I don't want to say his legacy is going to be defined, by the lack of success in the postseason. But I don't know if you guys know this, and I didn't really know it till last night, I don't think. He's never in the regular season career given up back-to-back home runs.
Ever.
And he's done it twice in the postseason now.
That's incredible. I did see that only Andy Pettit has given up more postseason home runs than Kershaw. And it's almost like double the innings it took for Pettit to give up 30-some-odd home runs, and Kershaw's given up like 25 in the postseason.
Are they doing the NLCS? Is it going to be on TBS?
I couldn't tell you. Frenchie? You don't think Frenchie's coming?
If Ernie Johnson and Jeff Francoeur are doing it, there's zero chance that I am watching one game, so I'm glad I'm out on that.
You don't like Frenchie, do you?
I don't understand. I mean, how many times can you say Frenchie in a broadcast?
TBS, Lance, tomorrow night, 7:08, first pitch. I of course agreed to do something on Friday night, not considering this being a possibility.
You enjoy it.
Yeah, never seen my team.
Quick turnaround, by the way. Advantage.
All right, we brought the clothes.
Advantage Cardinals.
Nope. We planned this, man. You hear them? They talked about it pregame. Like Davey Martinez told the team, you guys packed to go to St. Louis.
Of course you do that. I'm just saying.
We're good.
Pitching wise and everything. I mean, the Cardinals. I was surprised they
can't hold up.
I was surprised they left Flaherty out there.
I really
that first inning went.
It's easy to say now. I think the Nationals will win this series.
Oh, my gosh.
I think it'll go 6 or 7 games. But I think the Dodgers, and I said this to somebody last night when the Dodgers were up 3-1. I think the Dodgers will sweep the Cardinals. I thought they would have swept the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Cardinals just don't have the pitching they didn't have the pitching that would have hung with the Dodgers' bats. But
Terry in Talladega starts us off today. Terry, are you a Braves fan too?
No, I'm not.
Okay, well,
I grew up an Astros fan.
Oh, good for you.
Look at that.
You and Dunaway are on opposite sides.
On the sunny side of the street today, you are, my friend.
Well, my father took me to see the Houston Astros when in 1976 when my family went to Houston, so I just sort of fell in love with them then.
In the old Astrodome, huh?
Yeah, Bob Nepper and Cesar Cedeno and some of those guys.
All right.
And Ryan, I believe I called a show and predicted the Nationals were going to beat the Dodgers.
Well, thank you. Welcome aboard. You're correct.
I find them easier to pull for without Bryce Harper. I consider Bryce Harper kind of like Jared Stidham, a very good player, but a cancer in the locker room.
I do think it's comical that Bryce Harper is no longer part of this organization, and they win their first series since 1981. I don't even consider the Expos part of the –
I agree with you, Lance. I don't consider those old Terry, look, Bryce Harper, a lot of fans do not like him. I never heard anything but positive about him in the locker room. I do think his teammates liked him. Mm-hmm. So, and I follow this pretty closely. Look, I watch way more Nationals baseball than I should, and it's been very frustrating over the years, but his team seemed to back him up, and one way you know that is one time he didn't run out of ground ball, and Jonathan Papelbon, the brief moments he was with the Nationals, went after him, and the team backed Harper. So,
that was Papelbon.
That was Papelbon, and Harper's the guy you had the investment in, obviously, but I think that spoke volumes because he was loafing. I mean, Papelbon was right. Bryce Harper loafed out. He didn't run out of ground ball.
Well, Lance has already kiboshed you. He's already predicted the Nationals go to the World Series. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see now.
Yeah, we'll see.
They're probably done. But wasn't it a couple of years ago, back at the Tuberville era of Auburn, they kept the ball for the whole fourth quarter or third quarter against South Carolina?
Yeah, absolutely.
We're talking about that drive, Jim, earlier.
Yeah, that was one of the longest. But, yeah, that was one, and I'm trying to –
That was an Al Borges coached offense. I'll never forget it. Yeah,
they changed the ends of the field, right?
They held it over the quarter, and it was like a 12-minute drive.
Yeah, they started like at the 2-yard line and went down to score a touchdown. It was unbelievable. It was like a 21-play drive.
I was about to say 21, I thought was the number.
Let me tell you, I'll take you one further, and it's stupid that I remember this, but there was a Gene Stallings coached Alabama team that was playing Mississippi State. And, of course, you know, in the Stallings era, every game was close. This was like a one-score game. Alabama drove it, I'll never forget this, 9.5 minutes and didn't get a point. They lost it on a fourth down conversion, but they burned 9.5 minutes off the clock and it won them the game.
Incredible.
Yeah.
You guys have a great day.
I mean, can you imagine keeping the ball 9 minutes and not scoring?
Yeah, that you end up hurting yourself at that point.
Well, I think it was Stallings' goal, just burn clock. He didn't care about the points.
Scoob's on a cell phone. Hey, Scoob's, how are you?
Guys, how are you?
Good.
I got a football question concerning Auburn, but I just want to throw a little skepticism here dealing with the World Series competitors. Who's your guys' pick? Who do you think's going to win it?
Well, the Astros are the favorite, so I would say the Astros.
Yeah, the Astros are going to win this thing.
Yeah, they got the best pitching and the best hitting in a ballpark that is a pretty good home field advantage.
Of course, the way everything's going right now, the Rays will win this game today, and the Astros don't even get there.
Yeah, I assume somewhere a TV executive for Fox made a deal with the devil, and he's being paid back now, being drugged to the gates of hell for the television ratings that a Tampa Bay Rays versus the Washington Nationals World Series
you
would
don't
bring.
Think that would be highly rated? Yeah.
I mean, they would have to cancel the Simpsons. Fox would lose so much money on that one.
I hear you. I want to get into this Booby Whitlow situation in Gus Malzahn. I'm not trying to dish hate or anything. I'm just kind of wanting to break this down. Look, Booby Whitlow is a big part of that offense, obviously. And I guess I'm wanting to know, just as a bold statement, what you guys predict Auburn's record will be at the end of the year without him, depending on when he comes back, but a rough estimate. And then I guess secondly, because there's plenty of people down there that doesn't like Gus, does Booby Whitlow's absence and the way that he forces them running backs to just, you know, turn, bull, and he runs them completely out, is that going to get him fired? That's my questions for today, guys. Right, hope you have a good day, man.
I'll be honest. I think we said yesterday that they were an 8-4 team with Booby Whitlow, and they're probably an 8-4 team without Booby Whitlow.
Yeah, I agree, and I don't know if it gets Gus fired or not. Again, I think a lot of this is dependent upon – that 8-4, how does it close out? Are you close and competitive against Auburn and Alabama, or excuse me, against Georgia and Alabama? And do you continue to see progression with Bo Nix? I mean, again, going into the season, most people believed, hey, if everything breaks right, true freshman quarterback with this difficult schedule, 8-4 is about the number. So if you can get to 8-4 and Bo Nix plays like he played a couple of weeks ago against Mississippi State, and you know, you play both Georgia and Alabama within a possession or within 10 points, I think Gus Malzahn can survive. If you go Bo Nix playing like he did in the Swamp and you lose by 21-plus to both of those teams, I think Auburn's going to be looking around.
People forget, Brown, they've already played half their season. I know, I mean, they're 5-1. They've already beaten Oregon and Texas A&M.
But they haven't played the toughest half of their season. I know we've said that a lot, but the toughest half is coming up. The way this would blow back on Malzahn, I don't think it would be as much record, Lance, but it would be if – Whitlow goes out and is out. Let's say he's out 6 weeks, okay? So he misses most of the rest of the regular season. And you don't have a productive running back. You know, Cam Martin can't get it done. This DJ Williams kid isn't what people think he is. Harold Joyner can't get it. Whatever the case is. And then people start saying, how can you not have at least one more running back?
Yeah.
You know, that goes to recruiting then.
I don't know if it'll show up unless you lose to Arkansas, to Ole Miss, or to Samford. Those are the three other games. But if you lose to number 5 LSU, number 3 Georgia, or number 1 Alabama, they all will hurt. You want to win them all.
Yeah, but if they're blowing your doors off, you know, it's a different story.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is.
I don't think that'll happen because of that
you
defense.
You guys, again, fans can't necessarily get a coach fired. I mean, you said what was trending right now is fire Dave Roberts. Dave Roberts, I'm going to be really surprised if he gets fired. After just one loss, you've already got Auburn fans, and we got the calls on Monday.
Yeah.
Hey, this is just not going to work out. So we're talking about one loss. So just imagine if you get 3 more of those losses.
Hard to be realistic in that point, but I see what you're saying. I mean, when you go into the year, when you're going to play nationally ranked Oregon, nationally ranked Texas A&M, nationally ranked Florida, nationally ranked LSU, nationally ranked Georgia, nationally ranked Alabama, those 6 games, if you want to win them all, I know. And when you're 5-0, you think you're going to win them all. But then you lose to Florida, you think to yourself, you know, man, if we were 3-3 with those 6 games at the end of the year, end up 9-3, that's a tremendous job. If we end up 8-4, we did okay. It's a good year.
Yeah, but if you would have said before the season, if we're sitting here, hey, look, let's just dissect the first 6 games of Auburn's season with a true freshman quarterback in Bo Nix, what is your expectation? 5-1, we would have said that's an A.
Oh, an A. And that's what Gus has been saying. That's an A. Yeah, I agree with you. That's an A. It doesn't feel like it coming off the first loss when you're 5-0, right, and all of a sudden you're thinking, you know, we may be a playoff team.
Well, and I've got a feeling it's going to be a D down the stretch. Could be wrong.
Yeah, I mean, that it's a big time. You know, Bo's in a family where, you know, his dad played quarterback and his mom, you know, was at Auburn with his dad while they were playing quarterback. So he's surrounded by a lot of love there, who have seen the ups and downs of a quarterback. But bouncing back from what happened against a really aggressive defense. By the way, nobody in the country has more pressures on quarterback than the Florida Gators. So technically, statistically, next-gen stats tell you it only gets easier for Bo Nix from this point forward. Jonathan writes in and says, Clayton Kershaw is the Dan Marino of baseball. What are the Atlanta Braves in the sports world? If you're taking this to another sport... Ooh. What are the Atlanta Braves? If Clayton Kershaw is Dan Marino, is there a football comparison to what the Atlanta Braves are?
Not the Buffalo Bills.
No.
They were in the 90s, the Buffalo Bills, Lance, but this iteration of the Braves, not the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, I don't even know.
I mean, this is a young team who's...
Clippers?
Everyone says the Braves' best days are ahead of them. Do you believe that?
I think they have been. I mean, I think the present ought to be pretty good right now. They've got one of the best players in the game in Acuna. Great veteran in Freeman. You know, look, Snicker's going to get second-guessed on this whole deal by his pitching rotation. The fact that Soroka got one start in a five-game series is criminal, right? I mean, he's your best pitcher. And the fact that you got yourself in a game five where you had to depend on a guy you had to send down to the minors earlier this summer, and you can come at me with what he had done recently. You can't get past the fact, Lance, that the guy had such a bad attitude you had to send him to Gwinnett for a month. I mean, that's the guy you were hanging the season on.
This is going to hit too close to home for Braves fans, but they're Georgia football.
I give you that.
Yeah. They really are.
They share a lot of fans, right?
I mean, they have successful regular seasons. They're in the mix in the postseason, but they don't do anything.
Look, I'm a Nationals and Dolphins fan, and that has carried a lot of pain over the last decade. I cannot imagine, and you know this combination exists, the Falcons, Braves, Georgia Bulldogs fan.
Yeah, that's a hard way to make a sports living right there.
I mean, can you imagine from 28-3 to 2nd-26 to what you saw yesterday? I mean, that's got to be tough to swallow.
Two really good ones coming in here real quick. Paul says the Braves are the 1990s Utah Jazz, the Malone and Stockton Jazz.
Yeah, but get to a World Series first.
Cheese says the Braves equal the once San Diego Chargers, now the L.A. Chargers.
That's not a bad one. Good regular season. They can never deliver in the playoffs.
Robert says you can blame this series on multiple things, but no one blew this more than Snitker did. He will catch heat.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think they will fire him either, though. The Dodgers manager is getting heat. The Braves manager is getting heat. I would imagine if A.J. Hinch, is that his name? If he loses today, the Astros guy would catch heat from going 107 wins and losing to a team that pays $58 million for an entire 25-man roster.
I mean, it's the world we live in. I mean, Hinch won a championship just 2 years ago. They've won 100-plus games in three consecutive years, but you're right. I mean, it's just part of it. But, you know, for the Braves – I did think to really have a successful season, you needed to advance to the NLCS. Yeah. I mean, for the Dodgers, it was win a World Series or bust. So the Dodgers, even with the 106 regular season wins, this season was a bitter disappointment.
But, I mean, if you're the Braves, now the whole offseason, I mean, that's got to be the most embarrassing loss in postseason history. Can you think of another one?
No, but you know what? As a Dodgers fan, I would have rather that happen.
You'd rather take a bullet right away than...
I told Rocky last night when the Dodgers jumped out early, I said, man, I hope they pull the Cardinals because I want to be able to shut this thing down and go to bed.
Whoops.
Because, you know, in baseball, you know, 10-0, it's done. I mean, there is just no coming back. It just, you could play, you know, 100,000 of those games and maybe once. It's just not going to happen. So I would rather lose like that.
I mean, that was just embarrassing, though. I mean, you're a major league team. And I mean, it was... They looked little league at points. The play where McCann's chasing, first of all, he misses strike three. Then he's got to chase it. He slips and falls. He almost throws it into right center. Freeman can't. I mean, that looked like little league baseball.
Well, I've got a friend that just runs his mouth nonstop. We've probably all got that friend, and he's been texting me all week talking about the Braves and blah, 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 and your Dodgers will be lucky to meet up with us. He was heading to the game yesterday. And I had to do it. And I'm not one of those guys that's going
to
talk a lot of smack.
Had to do it.
But I had to send off the text. I'm not one of those guys. It 10-0. I said, I hope you've gotten in your seat before your season ended.
Oh, my gosh. What did he say?
He hadn't.
Yeah, that's what Brown and I were joking that.
He was in the SunTrust parking lot. He was like, I don't know what to do now. We're down 10-0.
Turn around and go home.
Yeah, I would have gone. He went for two innings and then left.
No. They would have never seen my ticket. I would have gone to a nice meal right there, drinks, and killed time until I was hungry. And ate somewhere at Battery Park.
Yeah, because that atmosphere has just got to be miserable because you're there with, you know, 50,000 other Braves fans that are just completely miserable.
Well, you go in thinking maybe we're going to have the greatest comeback in sports history.
Not when it's 10-0, you don't. I don't think any one person in that stadium thought they were going to come back from that.
I joked when it happened after going to the bottom of the first. I said, thank God this is happening to the Braves, because we know the Falcons' offense isn't good enough to come back from down 10-0. I mean,
what is 10-0 in baseball in the first inning? Is that 28-0?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
NFL?
Yeah, 28-0 through the first quarter. It's like what the Ravens did to the Dolphins week one, and you knew the game was over. We talked about this. So they're no joke. I mean, that happened so quick. Snicker is right. I've never seen teams score runs that quick. There were people that got to the game roughly on time and stopped to get a beer. And before they could suck the top off the beer and get in the seats,
yeah,
it was 8-0.
Your plan is you're walking in, I'm going to grab my beer and take it to my seat. The Cardinals are batting the first. I want to be in my seat in time to see Acuna, you know, lead off the bottom of the first.
Yeah. And it was 8-0 before you could sit down.
You know,
that's as quick as I've ever seen
it. Was a pitch away, though. If you go back and look at it, if he induces a double play, ground ball there, he gets out 1-0.
Yep. Exactly.
I mean,
that's
just, I mean, baseball is just such a weird sport.
Yeah, we said this yesterday, though. We brought it up. I mean, Fultonevich had pitched better of late, but you are hanging your season on a guy that you had to send down to the minors earlier.
And that's one of the reasons I liked the Cardinals yesterday. I mean, Flaherty's been so consistent, although, you know, it was brought up yesterday and it's been brought up before. He didn't get the run support. And I did send Pat Smith a text in the first inning. I said, I think he finally got his run support.
Yeah, there's his run support. He got it all in one game.
Listen, I don't blame Braves fans for not calling or even listening this morning or going to work.
That's a spiral.
I mean, if I'm a Braves fan, I mean, our listeners, there are some passionate Braves fans, and they ride every out with that team, every out. And after the way that went in the top of the first and the season being over, such a sudden death, I don't blame you, man. Take a day.
As an Atlanta sports fan, I think you're pretty numb to it by now.
Well, you know, it's funny.
I think you almost expect it.
Was telling me this story a couple of weeks ago, our friend Clay Travis, and he said that he was in an Uber in Atlanta about a year or 2 years ago, and he was talking to the Uber driver who was in his 60s about Atlanta sports, and the guy said, after the Falcons loss, I've given up all Atlanta sports. I can't do it anymore.
Loss in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I put too much into this after we blew 28-3. I cannot, it is just eating me up. And so that's probably good for him last night, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad he didn't get emotionally invested. I would have done it again.
The Goose says, I'm a Falcons, Braves, and Georgia fan. It's tough. It's why I'm always a sports pessimist. If not for Atlanta United soccer, I wouldn't know what winning feels like.
That's tough because he probably wasn't a big soccer fan.
That's new money. I'd jump on that quick.
He wasn't a big soccer fan, but he's like, oh, God, Atlanta's got a good franchise. I got to embrace this somehow.
Yeah. It's like hating your house, but the only thing you like is your mailbox.
There's never anything in there but bills.
It's nothing but bills, but it's beautiful. Look at it.
He's resting on the Atlanta United?
No, I mean, that's...
Well, he's got a nice mailbox.
They pack Mercedes-Benz. It's fun. They win.
And then the Patriots back over your mailbox. Or the Cardinals.
Let's go to David in Trustville. David, you say you're an Atlanta sports fan, or you just want to comment on Atlanta sports?
Oh, yeah. No, this is 48 years of it.
That's brutal. So, are you across the board? Are you Falcons, Braves, Bulldogs? No, are you a Georgia guy?
No, I'm a Georgia guy.
Oh, my God.
I don't like soccer, so that's, you know. I could have at least liked soccer. So you got a chance.
You're an American.
But no, really. I mean, it's kind of the point now where, you know, I'll watch the Falcons. I'll just kind of keep up with them. Same thing with the Braves. I'm like, I'm not even going to keep up with them till the postseason. I'll be a bandwagon guy, you know, when they start doing well, and they got me again.
Yeah, may I suggest the opposite approach?
Yeah, see what he did, though? They got me again.
They got you again. Ride them regular season and just ignore the postseason. I think that's going to be less painful for you.
Yeah, well, I think Kirby's eventually going to right the ship for me. I mean, it's gotten to the point now, guys, where there's a workout group I'm in, and my nickname, they gave me the nickname runner-up. Because I'm a Georgia fan. So.
Well, runner-up.
Yeah. You know, runner-up, you might want to take a look at this year, though. Kirby recruits extremely well. I just don't know what you're going to have at the quarterback position next year because Fromm's going to be gone after this year. To me, that's a scary proposition.
Carson Beck will be in. We're good. We'll keep your head up. Sorry, hey, it builds character.
That's true. You're calloused by now.
Well, thank you, runner-up.
Oh, runner-up.
That's a good nickname. Hey, runner-up.
Gosh, that's got to be hard, though, man. I mean, not one of them has given you anything to be joyous about of late. I mean, all they've done is rip your heart out.
They extend the season.
They do.
Well, they bring you a lot of joy. It's just the ending that's bad. Well, right?
I don't think you can enjoy it as a Braves fan because you know what the ending's probably going to be. You watch that whole regular season thinking, this is nice, but – and if you're a Falcons fan, how could you have faith in that team?
Well, you can't, but here's the –
So is a great relationship worth it if it's going to be a horrendous ending?
Like if you knew there was a divorce imminent, could you even enjoy the relationship?
Closest to a championship of the three, though, is the Georgia Bulldogs right now in football.
Could be this year.
It could be this year. But let me ask you, if Alabama were to lose on Saturday or somewhere along the way, bigger cheer in Auburn, Alabama or Athens, Georgia?
Well, if they lose to LSU, that would be bigger because they would think, okay, we're getting LSU instead of Alabama.
Let me explain my point.
No, I know what you're saying.
That Georgia, it's been Alabama the last 2 years that sort of has been the roadblock for them. Do you think Georgia fans would get more joy out of an Alabama loss and being kept out of the playoffs or Auburn?
About the same. That might be all fan bases with Alabama right now.
Maybe, yeah. Most hated team in the country, no doubt.
8:30 on Showtime, you got Eddie Murphy Raw. It's a good one.
Isn't he having to apologize for
that? Of course.
Well, I think he's hosting Saturday Night Live in, December?
Okay. Mm. So if you want to see what he's having to apologize for,
he signed a deal for Netflix, right? He's going to do a comedy
special. Yeah, that's what he's doing, a comedy, but he came out and he said he's embarrassed about the comedy that he did back, and he really centraled on Raw. You know, Rockstar and I were talking about this last night. So Joker, the Academy is talking about not having it nominated.
Because it's so violent?
Because it's so violent. And we were talking last night about Anthony Hopkins, one of the greatest performances of all time, about Hannibal Lecter, a guy that was eating people's brains and faces.
That's not violent.
And that won Best Picture.
Yeah.
I mean, we are in such a super sensitive society where it is so cool to be against everything.
Is it not? Are people not claiming that it's marginalizing mental illness? Is that part of the complaint, or is it just the violence?
It's the whole thing about
still
it.
A movie.
I mean, it's art. Yeah, I would agree. Look it up, kids, but we used to have to go rent videos from Blockbuster and Movie Gallery and places like that. Do you guys remember how tough it was to get Raw? I mean, it was gone all the time.
It was never there.
It was never there.
Empty box.
Yeah, it was empty box behind it.
Yeah. Oh, no, somebody's got it.
Nah, I'm sorry, Raw.
Hey, can you check the return bin?
Damien, well, I got one, but they didn't rewind it.
Yeah. Damien is looking at us, you know, like we're crazy. Early 20s here.
You know what? That would be a great bracket challenge for the loser to have to wear the red leather suit that Eddie Murphy wore in Raw.
Yeah.
It was delirious.
We've done this before.
Was it the purple?
Raw's purple. Okay. Yeah. Red's delirious.
Okay. But you're right, Dunaway. If you played Return Bin Lottery, you occasionally got the movie you wanted. It was
Yeah, Raw's right here. Just returned. Yeah. Can you even check the slot outside? Some people don't walk in.
I know. They
slot it in the slot.
You know, I wonder if we've got any.
Why don't we do this, LT? Why don't we make it to, if we can get somebody check before we do the bracket challenge. Check and see if we can get the purple and the red, and the winner makes the other two wear it on the same day.
Oh, wow. We could do that. Yeah. Now we got to get Brown to pay his off.
I know. I'm going to do it. I've done it every time. Don't start. I have paid all these off. I am going to do it.
I know you were going to do it in the summer.
I know, but I got delayed.
If we've got listeners out there that used to work at the Blockbusters or the Movie Gallery, and like I was the guy that would wear you out because of the new release, I would like walk around. No, I would just walk around, just hoping somebody would bring it back when I was hanging out there.
Loiter?
Like 25 was
Lady
gone.
Lady and the Tramp, who are you?
And so you'd walk back, hey, somebody just turned it in. Hey, did they turn in that? They turn in Hunt for Red October?
Well, we got Homeward Bound 2, A New Journey.
Oh, the video stores. 751. Back to the Alabama question that I asked. So you guys are telling me that 38 points wouldn't be enough. If it was 38-10, 31-7.
Old school Alabama,
South Carolina and Ole Miss, as opposed to 47-23, 59-31. You would be less concerned, more concerned about that team at 38-10, 31-7 than you are this team?
Because, Lance, based on what you saw last year, you would assume the offense had taken a significant step backwards if they're only scoring in the mid-30s in those two games.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is an Alabama offense. It's one of the best in college football, and we expected it to be even better this year, which I think on a lot of fronts it is.
But I'm talking about the whole team and winning a championship. I know they're number one, but people seem to think that there is a crack in the armor with this team because of their defense.
Well, but let me give you the flip side, okay? So if you were looking at it, just what you did last year versus this year, last year that offense was piling up points, and then you ran into the number one defense in the country, Mississippi State, and it got really hard. Now, they won that game significantly going away, but it got hard to score in that game. I think they scored 24 in that one?
I think the efficient offense is more important now than the defense.
And you scored 29 against LSU. You won 29-0, but that it got a little more difficult against LSU. The first half, it was difficult against Auburn. Now, you ended up, Tua Tagovailoa tore him apart in the second half.
Yeah, look, and I'll give you an example on why I think there's more of an emphasis on offense. I mean, LSU's defense isn't what it's been in the past, but this offense is so prolific right now. We're talking about LSU as a legitimate contender.
Yeah, and that's the point I was going
to
make.
If LSU right now was undefeated real quick and they were winning games 17-10, we would not be saying this about LSU. We would not be taking them seriously.
But that's the point I was going to make is I think Alabama fans, honestly now, and I'm not saying this will happen, but I think Alabama fans don't feel like LSU, State, or Auburn can hold them below 40 points. Do you think Alabama fans feel that way?
No, I don't think Alabama fans believe there's a single team in football that can hold them under 40.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't go beyond that because, you know, none of that's on the schedule, but it's going to be Georgia probably. I mean, Georgia, I don't know how Alabama fans feel about that, but I honestly think Alabama fans do not feel like State, LSU, the remaining big games on the schedule, State, LSU, or even starting this week at Texas A&M, any of those teams can hold Alabama below 40 points.
Okay, here's the question that I asked on our podcast yesterday, and I want to ask it to you guys, and I want you to answer when we come back. And I'd love to hear our listeners, 834-9450, 800-239-WJOX. Does Alabama leave College Station this weekend making a statement, great offense and great defense? Or do you think they leave College Station with more questions than you have about this team going in? That, when we come back on the other side, a Cowan Equipment poll question update for you right now with our friends at Cowan Equipment. A couple of questions out there. One of those being who is perceived to be a bigger postseason bust right now, a Clayton Kershaw or Freddie Freeman? It's gotten a little closer. Kershaw still leading the way 59% to 41%. Nick Saban updating us on a big injury last night. Center Chris Owen hasn't practiced all week, according to the coach. Very questionable for the game. No announcement of who would play if Chris can't play, but Landon Dickerson, the guy expected to play, the transfer from Florida State. Syracuse at NC State tonight. Lance, you've hit six locks in a row. You're going to stay away from that one?
I'm taking a look at it.
Oh, you are? Yeah. That one seems hard. Giants.
Giants. The easy ones, Lance. That's the ones you want.
I mean, the easy ones are the ones to play.
Yeah, just like La Lafayette last night.
Yeah. I got suckered into something last night. I thought maybe they had an offensive line.
Did you realize they were 5-0 against the number one of, I think, two teams in college football?
Who, Louisiana?
Yeah, going into last night.
Yeah, is that bad? I thought that was good.
Well, I mean,
it means you're probably due to lose
one.
It's
good if you've backed them for 5 weeks. It's not good if you're jumping on for the first time.
Right. Yeah.
I had circled that game a long time. I thought this was the year Louisiana was finally going to beat Appalachian State.
Yeah.
They did not. App State 17-7. Lance now up one in our stakes.
Big rivalry there.
Update later on. Giants. Patriots tonight in the NFL. You looking at that one as a lock?
Yeah, I'm looking at it. Big numbers like that, more than two touchdowns in the NFL, those are typically scary games.
Daniel Jones, first time to play against Tom Brady.
Yeah, that'll go well, I'm sure.
Second biggest age gap between starting quarterbacks in NFL history.
Did the other one involve like George Blanda and some rookie?
Tom Brady again.
And oh, really?
Sam Darnold last.
Oh, that's right.
All right. Darnold's back this week for the Jets.
Earlier said Sterling Sharp will not play tonight for the Giants, and he will not.
You were 100% factual.
I was very accurate in that.
I wasn't going to correct you because you were correct.
Yes, but Sterling Shepard also not expected to play.
So yeah,
that was the Sterling I meant to say.
Yeah, I get it. Braves get eliminated yesterday, 13-1. Brian McCann retires after the game. 7 All-Star games, 282 home runs, and the Nationals rally to beat the baseball team from Los Angeles. 3 home runs, back-to-back off Kershaw to tie it 3-3, and then a grand slam from Howie Kendrick. Who is he? I don't know, but he hit a grand slam yesterday and eliminated the Dodgers, raising Astros tonight at 6 o'clock. Those are your headlines.
Boy, that one Soto hit, Lance.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, did he destroy that ball or what?
Well, Kershaw just dropped straight down.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't even look at first.
And I don't think the outfielders moved.
Then he had to look. He had to.
Yeah. I got to see where that one lands.
It was one of those going into the eighth inning, I'm playing it myself as a Dodger fan, saying, as long as you don't let anyone on base, you can't lose this game. Yeah. And what I didn't account for was Kershaw didn't let anybody on base.
He did not. They barely touched the bases.
Yeah. And the old adage late in the game like that when you're up by more than one run is, you know, make them hit it.
Yeah.
Make them hit it.
Yep. Well, Soto did. Put the ball in play. Yeah. I mean, the worst thing you can do is what Joe Kelly did in the 10th is walk a leadoff guy. What Fulte did in the first yesterday, walking Dexter Fowler.
No free passes. Make them hit it. Well, the Nationals did yesterday.
Yeah, Kershaw's going to challenge you. Again, he just doesn't have overpowering stuff.
Yeah, they earned it. All right, 8:04. First, my Alabama question. I asked you guys to think about it during the commercial break. Do you think Alabama, you can't say breakout because they're the number one team in the country, but do they have a statement this weekend at Texas A&M, or do they leave College Station with more questions about maybe their defense or maybe their run game or what? Is there possible that they could leave College Station with more questions?
Lance, I said this earlier this week, and I think you agreed with me. I think Alabama and Clemson coming off byes. Clemson's not playing a game anybody thinks they're going to lose against Florida State. Nah, Alabama isn't either, but it's a closer game. I think coming off byes, Alabama will have the best performance all around they've had all season long. I think the same of Clemson, but we're talking Alabama here. Coming off this bye, Alabama is going to have their best performance they've had all year. I think this will be a dominant win. Three touchdowns, 21 points or more for Alabama.
The on the other side, though, Texas A&M is also coming off a bye.
They are.
And they could clean some things up. The thing that scares me, Brown, me being a contrarian, is where this number sits right now. And I know a lot of the sharp money right now is on Texas A&M, and this thing has dropped to 17.
16.5 at one point yesterday.
Yeah. So this kind of tells me that it's going to hover around there. I think Alabama probably wins by maybe 14-21. I don't think it's complete domination.
So if it's a 14-point or less win by Alabama, you have to come out with a little bit more questions maybe than you went into.
Yeah, well, I mean, again, because Alabama fans are getting conditioned to just completely annihilating every opponent out there. You got to look at it like this. I don't believe Texas A&M right now at this point is a top 25 team. Going into the season, people believe they were, and they're actually ranked right now at 24. But if you still win this game by 14 points, I mean, that's a comfortable margin. And, you know, depending on how the win plays out and everybody stays healthy and the defense plays a little bit better and you're not turning the football over, if it's just about A&M looking better and still winning by 14, I don't think that's a bad thing.
Yeah, I mean, 14 would feel like an incredibly close game for Alabama fans.
Yeah.
I mean, a 14-point road win in conference is not a bad win. But especially a team that is currently ranked. I'm with Lance. I don't think they're a top 25 team in the country, but they've got that number out next to their name. So that's where they are. I mean, a two-touchdown win on the road is a pretty good win. I would come away from that, though, thinking, not as dominant as I thought they would be. Now, some of that, Jim, depends on how it goes. Is it a 21-point game and Jimbo pulls the Jimbo and scores late and makes it 14? I'm not going to worry about that. Is Alabama sloppy? Do they turn it over and the turnovers lead to touchdowns? Do they have busted assignments on defense that leads to touchdowns? Do they give up a kick return? You know, just typical sloppy things for Alabama. If that's the way they only win by 14, yeah, I come away. I just got a feeling, and it's a gut feeling is all it is that Alabama is going to be really, really crisp in this game coming off this bye week, and you'll have a very impressive win.
8:07 on the Jocks round table. That's Alabama, Texas A&M, 2:30 on CBS. That's where you'll watch it this week. Now to Dabo Swinney yesterday. Trevor Lawrence has not looked himself this year compared to last year. We all see right?
More touchdowns already this year than all of last year.
Yeah, more interceptions than last year, but he's on pace with his touchdowns. His completion rate's down. There is belief that maybe he is not 100%. That maybe he has a bruised knee or bruised arm, you know, shoulder, whatever. There's been reports, not mainstream reports, but reports on message boards that Clemson had to do an MRI on Trevor Lawrence. And that came up yesterday with Clemson coach Dabo Swinney. Rockstar, what are some not common torture methods? Waterboarding is one that's frowned upon, right?
Waterboard, bamboo shoots,
The old stretching.
Drawn and quartered.
Yeah.
Is that what that is?
Yeah, we don't do that much anymore. Tar and feather, we don't do a lot anymore.
Dabo Swinney would not even let you get brush and tar or feather plucked before he gives up the information. No, seriously, listen.
So he would be bad, yeah. He'd be bad under cross-examination is what you're telling me?
I mean, this is not CIA cross-examination. Dabo gets one question. about Trevor Lawrence's health and whether they did an MRI. And I broke this down into two parts to me. And you tell me, did they do an MRI on Trevor Lawrence? And was there an injury? And see if you can tell me what you think the injury might have been. First, here's Dabo Swinney and the question that got him going on this talk.
Speaking of Trevor, can you confirm that he had the MRI?
No, I'm not confirming any of that. And I don't want anybody texting me anymore. I had a media guy text me the other night about, you know, that's private information. That's private information. If I want anybody to know our medical stuff, I'll tell you. We'll put it on the injury report. You know, but, you know, people texted me on my phone to ask me information that's not public, information that I wouldn't put out unless it was something that needed to be put out. That's bad business.
Here we go.
That's not how we do things. There's nothing wrong with Trevor, and I don't like people trying to create drama. There's no drama on this team, so what do people do? They want to create drama. It's the most unbelievable thing. There's no drama. Ain't nothing wrong with Trevor. Nothing. If we did an MRI or we didn't, that ain't nobody's business. We do MRIs all the time. All the time. All the time. I mean, a guy gets a bruise on his knee, we do an MRI. Guy bruises his elbow, we do an MRI. I mean, it's like we got to find – it drives me crazy. There's no drama on our team, and so we just want to create some drama. Oh, Trevor missed a throw. He must be hurt. No, he's human. He's human.
So we do MRIs all the time.
All the time.
All the time.
So are you saying you think he got one, Jim?
I may have gotten an MRI. So do you think maybe he was bruised? It was a bruising maybe to his knee or his elbow?
Well, I mean, those were brought up by Dabo Swinney.
I don't know what the big deal would be saying, yeah, we got an MRI for him. He got a little nicked up. He's 100% healthy, though. It came back negative.
Yeah, college coaches, are, you know, this is mandatory in the NFL. Nick Saban handles it very NFL-like. I mean, he'll say it up front, so-and-so, you know, got nicked up, did an MRI, you know, yeah. A lot of coaches, man, they like to keep as close to the vest in the college game.
Well, your health records, unless you sign them over, they're private.
They are private.
And that's what Dabo is talking about. Now, he goes on again. He doesn't like the self-created drama around his defending national championship team. Here's more from Dabo off the same question. I just had to stop so we could comment there. He hasn't stopped yet. This continues on.
Dabo's still talking.
This is Dabo from where we left off.
I'm not getting into medical information, all right, that I don't put out there, and especially something, you know, he gets a bruise in the Texas A&M game. Ain't nothing wrong with him. Nothing. Zero. Had his best game at Syracuse. Played a great game up there. Ain't nothing wrong with him. You know, so all the drama, you know, that people create, because the reason I'm hot about this ain't on you, Grace. I'm hot about this because I got a text last night at home, and I'm because it's, you know, like, oh my God, there's some conspiracy going on, you know. No, I tell y'all the truth. I'm trying to be transparent and honest. There's something wrong with it. I would let people know. You know, there's nothing wrong with him. Zero. Nothing. So people need to get over themselves and quit creating drama when there is none. Zero.
If I'm piecing it together, maybe he had an MRI off of a bruise he got in the Texas A&M game.
It sounds that way. But he did play well in the Clemson game. He did throw two picks in that game.
I think Dabo was nervous about this team.
The motivation of getting them as hungry as they were last year would concern you.
This was his toughest coaching job ever.
Yes.
Because he knew he had a really good team coming back with a really good quarterback coming back, but a team that was coming off a dominant performance in the national championship game over Alabama, and they were going to be anointed preseason, and they've played like a team that they've had the look. I'm not saying this is the case, but they've had the look of a team that thinks all you got to do is roll the helmets out and we're in the playoffs. And North Carolina came really, really close to showing them that wasn't the case. See if they learn from that.
I mean, if we put missile silos in the cornfields of Nebraska, I mean, what's the big deal? We put silos everywhere. I'm not going to tell you where we put our silos. I mean, if they're in the cornfields of Nebraska or the mountains of Montana, they're there, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you where they are.
I do want to say real quick for Dabo, we did have to beep a word in there. It wasn't a really bad one. So it's not one of those.
I was wondering if he dropped
an explicit link. It's just one I think we have to. It's one that is commonly used.
Starts with a P?
It does start with a P, but we have to dump it in that.
It starts with a P, and rhymes with.
He's got a couple of S's
yes,
in
it. Yes, it does. Yes.
Yeah.
Pass?
Yes.
Yeah. Almost. There's, hey, there's a couple of words yeah. you could go with.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is? What is?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, yeah. A, yeah. 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 It's not that one. It's not that one.
But Dabo drops that one.
Yeah. So we're, this is not the Cardinals manager who, by the way,
Roy Buss will flip.
The Cardinals manager went off in the post game. Did you guys see that video that leaked out?
That was unprofessional. That's why I wanted the Cardinals.
That was unprofessional.
No, it was unprofessional. The player to video it and leak it out. I mean, the manager's doing what the manager does.
Jill got thrown under the bus.
Yeah.
10% brought to you by Cowan.
Follow the show on Instagram @JocksRoundtable.